This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 32 to 35. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give to us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just while we stand, let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we know as we sing those words that Jesus is very special and we need him very much. And I pray that you'll help us as we look at the Bible reading now to discover more about how that's true. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you all like to take a seat? And wow, it's been great fun so far, hasn't it? We've had a good time bringing up our gifts, all these wonderful things we're going to be able to give to other people to help them. And respect to Christine for doing the bread activity with the kids. That was brilliant. I want to show you this morning, while we're going to think about I'm the bread of life, I want to show you something that I brought along last night. And I'm glad nothing went wrong overnight. That's my petrol can. And I use that to fill up my lawnmower at home. And it's, it's inside is fuel, ordinary fuel that you might get at the petrol station. Where are we? Which one is it? There we go. So it's ordinary fuel and keeps my lawnmower going. And your car needs fuel, doesn't it? When you go for a drive, you go for a trip, your car needs fuel to drive. And fuel, having fuel in your car, is the difference between this, a great journey, and this. Or that. What a disaster it is if you run out of fuel. It's lovely, isn't it, if you're driving along and you're on holiday and you know you're on your way to the coast or perhaps to see a relative and you're chatting together about what's going to happen when you get there and what you're looking forward to doing and who you're going to see. And it's all very, very exciting. We love it when it's like that, don't we? That feeling of driving along. But if you run out of fuel, oh, it's just such a disaster, isn't it? You forget that you were heading to the coast. You forget that you were going to see, you know, a relative. You forget the holiday you were planning. And all you can think about is the doom and gloom of sitting by the road and not knowing what to do. Has anyone here ever run out of petrol on a journey? Simon, Simone, Tony has, Adrian. What's it like? It's bad. Thumbs down. Thumbs down. It's really, really bad to run out of fuel on a journey, isn't it? It's so bad. And perhaps, you know, people start to get a bit fractious and cross with each other. There's finger pointing, perhaps. There's, why didn't you check before you left? Or why didn't you fill up when you had the chance? Perhaps someone might even start crying by the side of the road because it's just not nice, is it? And there's only one thing to do. Dad has to, if he's got one of these, he trudges off, doesn't he, down miles down the road to fill up his petrol can, or he has to go and buy one from the garage. So you're stuck there. And this morning's all about our need for fuel. Our cars need it, our mobile phones need fuel, and that's where we plug them in. Loads of things need fuel. Our bodies need fuel, don't they? When we see all this food, reminds us we need fuel too. And our souls need fuel. We need spiritual food, if you like, spiritual fuel. And of course, we're talking about Jesus, aren't we? We're talking about Jesus. He said he is the bread of life, the bread of life. He's saying that he's the fuel that we need for the Christian life. He's the one who powers the Christian life. He's the difference between a life like this, a Christian life like this, and a Christian life like that. But why did he call himself the bread of life? Why the bread of life? Why didn't he call himself the petrol of life or the firewood of life or, you know, the rice or the potatoes of life? He could have done that, couldn't he? Why the bread of life? I think he was reminding the people about a journey that had happened thousands of years before, 1,000 years before Jesus' time anyway. He was reminding them of a time when God had given his people fuel for the journey. I don't know if you can remember this journey, when God had given his people bread that they needed for the journey. Do you know the story? It's this one. It was a journey to the promised land. It was the people of Israel, and they were traveling from Egypt to the promised land. And thousands, hundreds of thousands of people set off on this journey to the promised land. But that doesn't tell half the story, does it? Because the people had been slaves. They'd been slaves living a terrible life in Egypt. And their lives were so miserable there. But God did this amazing thing to mean that they could set off on a journey to a promised land. God had given them an escape. And that was an epic story, the escape. was it involved, do you remember they had to kill some lambs and smear some blood? It was the Passover. They had to put the blood on their door frames. And then there was a miracle at the Red Sea, and he'd set them on their way to somewhere better that they'd never have dreamed of. They were going to the promised land. And that was going to be a land of plenty, a land of rest, a land where they could worship God. There'd be no kind of, no more evil or wickedness. The place of their dreams it was supposed to be, a place where they could live life to the full, just the way God meant it to be. And they were so excited to be on their way. And you can imagine that they were chatting about it as they went. They were saying about all the things they were going to do when they got there. What would the destination be like? So they were really excited. But remember what we said at the beginning. Every journey needs fuel, doesn't it? It needs fuel. And without fuel, it grinds to a halt. Now, these people weren't in cars, so they didn't need this kind of fuel. They were on foot. They were on foot. They were walking, weren't they? And they hadn't gone very far before they realized that they had run out of food to power the journey, to power those hungry, power their tummies and power their feet for the journey. And they couldn't walk any further. And they ground to a halt on their journey. Some people stopped. Some people leant on their sticks. Some people sat down. Some people lay down. They couldn't go on any further. All thoughts of the promised land evaporated, disappeared in that instant. They couldn't think about where they were going to, and they could hardly think about where they'd come from. They were just full of the problems of the present. That's all they could think of. They just thought they were gonna die there, probably. Some people started arguing, some people started crying. It was so miserable. And it was just at that moment that the Lord provided bread from heaven. They called it manna. Bread came from heaven. Not a sort of ordinary supermarket bread, but literally bread that came down from heaven. And it covered the ground in the morning, and they had to go and collect it up in baskets and eat it. Can you imagine what that would have been like for them? Can you imagine? There was so much of it. They could collect as much as they wanted and eat as much of it as they needed. And it strengthened them and gave them new energy for the journey. The people who'd been sitting down stood up. The people who put down their rucksacks picked them up. And they had the strength to go on again. And this morning, I thought it'd be quite nice just to taste a bit of manna. So I just need 3 volunteers who might be able to hand out some manna. Because obviously, you had a fresh delivery. No, we haven't had a fresh delivery. But I did go to a supermarket that sells wafers. So, Zakora, would you just mind passing out that little basket of manna to all the people in this corner? And then, Trish, if you want to send those around there, and just help yourselves. And you've got to imagine that you are a really hungry Israelite, and you've got no energy at all, and that you're just going to tuck in on some manna, and that's going to power your journey all the way to the promised land. Okay, just enjoy that. See what you think. Pass them around. Have a piece of manna. Great. Yeah, what do you reckon? Now, actually, manna, that bread from heaven was supposed to taste like honey and coriander, I think. Doesn't it say that in Exodus? Honey and coriander. Now, these ones have got... Oh, I should say... They may contain nuts. Hazelnut. Anyway, but so they've got, these are kind of chocolatey, hazelnutty flavour. Thank you very much. I'll just put the spare ones over here. There we go. Yeah. So that's not bad, is it? Amazing. And just think what that manna would have represented to those people on that journey. It got the journey going again, didn't it? It got the journey going for them. It gave them the strength to carry on. These people were back on their feet. All those sort of negative, miserable thoughts that they had in their minds of sitting by the road and probably going to die there, lifted. The gloom disappeared. Suddenly they were on their way again. They were thinking about the promised land that lay ahead. They were talking about what was going to happen when they got there. They believed they were going to make it. We can get there. God's going to get us there. He's going to rain down this manna every day for us. And suddenly they were delighted again. So that's the story of how God gave the people of Israel their fuel for the journey, every single day. And so now I think we know what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He means he is the fuel that we need for the Christian life. He is the difference between a Christian life that feels like that and a Christian life that feels like that. He's the difference between a Christian life that feels like this and a Christian life that feels like this. If we are God's people, then we are on a journey, very much like the Israelites' journey, aren't we? We're on a journey too. And our journey is just as epic as theirs, just as thrilling. From a slavery that is as real as the one that the Israelites were under in Egypt, we were under a terrible slavery to sin. But then God called us. He said, I'm going to set you free. And there's an escape possible. And I'm going to send you to the promised land, to a new life in a place of freedom, where you can serve me without fear, where there'll be no interference from all that wickedness and evil anymore, where you'll be with other like-minded people, where you'll be at rest, where everything will be made right. The place of our dreams, heaven on earth. And I know that a lot of us here this morning are on that journey, aren't we? And it began, as with the Israelites, with blood. Not the blood of just a sheep, but the blood of Jesus. And we put that blood, didn't we, on our sort of over the doorposts of our lives. We said, yeah, that blood that Jesus shed, that was for me. I needed that. I needed him to die for me. And he set me free, and I'm on this journey. God's broken sin's power over us, and he said, go for it. Go to the promised land. Go with his people. Go with my people. And that's a journey that many of us are on, isn't it, this morning? And we feel like that journey is life to us. It's the meaning of life. It's everything to us to be on that journey and for God to be guiding us there. And if we're not on it this morning, it's a journey any of us can start at any time. We can start it this morning, if we like, by saying, Jesus, I want to go on that journey with you, with your people. But we've realized this morning that it's not a journey that we can go on alone. We don't have the strength for it. We need fuel for the journey. We don't need petrol. We don't need hazelnut-flavored wafers. We need Jesus, don't we? We need him. He's the fuel powering the Christian life. He's driving us along on this journey to that destination. And our journey, how it seems to us, how it feels, all comes down to him. Whether we are fueling up on him. If we're filling up on Jesus, if he's our bread, then we'll sense that we are moving forward. We'll sense that the promised land is in sight. It's within reach. It's in our reach. He's going to give us the strength to get there. We can almost see it around the corner. We get a taste of it, don't we? We have a sense of it. Just there. Just ahead of us. That's not to say life's always plain sailing or easy. There are bumps in the road and it can be tough at times. But we know we'll get there. We know each day is a step forward. We know he's helping us. He's moving us forward. But if we're not fueling up and filling up on Jesus, we'll soon get stuck. And this is what it's going to be like for us. We'll feel like We're totally out of it. We feel like we're stranded. We're stuck in life. We feel like we're going nowhere. We feel like it's just immediate problems swamping us and surrounding us. And everything's going bad. Perhaps this morning, that's where some of us feel like we are at this place in our Christian lives. That's how we feel day by day. We feel weary. We feel we're broken down. We feel like we're stuck. There is no sense at all that we're on an exciting journey to a promised land. Maybe the things God did for us in the past no longer give us much pleasure. Things that once did excite us just seem so unreal now in our day-to-day lives. All we can think about are the problems of this life, and we don't know why. But we do know why, don't we? We do know why. We know we're empty, and we know it's ages since we filled up on Jesus properly, really filled up on him. Do you know the Israelites were given manna in the desert every single day? Every day, God gave them a fresh supply. He was teaching them that they couldn't go for more than a day without this fueling, this refueling that they needed. They couldn't go for very long if they wanted to keep the journey alive, keep moving forward, keeping it real. And we are the same, friends. We're the same. We need refueling every single day. I know your car doesn't need refueling every single day. And if you've got an iPhone, it probably does need refueling every day. If you're on something else, you might go a bit longer than that. Your body certainly needs refueling every day, doesn't it? I bet some of us have 3 meals a day. Quite a lot of us probably do. Maybe some of us have 4 or 5. But we need lots of fueling, don't we? And we need to refill on Jesus every single day if we're going to keep the journey going, going to keep moving forward. So let's make a decision today that we're going to refuel properly on Jesus. Each one of us, we're going to do that, aren't we? And it's wonderful because he's willing to give to us as much of himself as we're willing to take. He's offering himself to us. We might just wonder, how do we refuel? Well, we know with a car, don't we, what we've got to do. And don't worry, there's no naked flames here. But this is what we do to refuel with our car or our lawnmower. Oh, gosh, I smell that. And then you sort of tip it. I'll put that back on now. That's what we do, isn't it, with our cars? Do we know how to refuel when it comes to Jesus and our spiritual lives? We know how to go to the fridge. We know how to boil the kettle and stick on the pasta, don't we? But do we know how to refuel when it comes to Jesus? Do you know what we've got to do? Because he's willing to feed us. He's willing to feed us. And we must be ready to take from him in whatever way we can receive from him. And the main way that he gives himself to us and that we can refuel on Jesus is by feeding on his word, his great words to us. They are like life to us. That's the way that he connects himself to us. All his great promises, the things he's done for us in the past, he'll tell us about those things. The things that he's going to do for us in the future, the fact that he's going to carry us forward every single day to our destination, that he's never going to leave us, he's never going to forsake us. He'll make so many promises to us in his word, in the scriptures. And that's why we do need to sort of sit down with him every day, don't we? And we need to come to church and we need to hear about the things he's done. Perhaps we listen to things on the internet. Perhaps you've got Christian CDs that tell you the great things he's done. If they're really good songs. These are all the ways that we can be filled up and take in this bread of life. That's what he says. I am the bread of life. He says, you don't need to peter out and grind to a halt on the Christian journey. So let's make sure all of us refuel and refill on Jesus. And as we do, friends, our journey is going to come alive. We're going to have this wonderful sense that we're on this journey, that we are, the promised land's just over the horizon. It's there for us. And we're going to start talking to one another about it again, aren't we? We're going to be, it's coming. Aren't you looking forward to it? What are you going to do when you get there? What's it going to be like? It's going to be amazing. I'm going to just finish reading a single verse from a hymn that you probably know, but we'll read it like a prayer as we close, and then we'll sing. So this is how the prayer goes, or the song goes. You are the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Your holy word, your truth, is food for me. Grant I may eat and live with you above. Teach me to love your truth, for you are love. Amen.